it's easy to say we're doing the mental game, but the discipline and the conviction to it is a real separator.
Hey, how you doing? Brian Kane, your Peak Performance Coach with the Peak Performance Podcast. And our guest today, Mike Rooney, is a former college baseball coach and currently working with Perfect Game, doing some writing, and is an analyst for ESPN. You've seen him during the college baseball season on ESPN breaking down the game. And what I'm excited about today is that Mike not only has coached baseball at the highest level, but he also gets the inside access that very few people get into the top programs in the country through ESPN and interviewing and getting to know some of the top coaches in the country. So excited to hear him talk about the players he's coached as well as the coaches that he's been around and really dive into a guy who has a unique perspective on the game of baseball and is going to be very entertaining and educational for us today. So Runes, welcome to the Peak Performance Podcast. Glad you're with us.
Kaner, it's a pleasure to be here. And I got to tell you, I want to say this publicly. Congrats on your Ironman. You did an Ironman this weekend and I missed my workout yesterday. So I'm feeling very inadequate right now, but it's awesome to be here.
Well, I join you, man. I missed my workout this morning. I was supposed to get up and go for a swim, and I could hardly get out of bed to get into the bathroom. So I pagged on the swim, but I will. you're forgiven, and we'll just make sure you don't miss 2 days in a row. That's the key. Everyone's going to miss one day, Runes. You just can't miss two.
Amen. I'm here. I got it. I'm on it today.
Fantastic. Well, Runes, if you would, man, get our listeners caught up to speed, if you would, kind of your entry into the world of baseball and kind of your journey and story into how you got to where you are today.
It's, you know, I'll try and give you the Cliff Notes version, but like a lot of guys, just, you know, really fortunate and really blessed. I mean, I went to Notre Dame for college, and my dad had gone there, so I was going there to be a student. And I tried to walk onto the baseball team and got really lucky that Pat Murphy had just happened to be the head coach there. And at that time, it was his second year. He was 28 and was building the program basically from scratch. And, we just had an incredible 4 years. My senior year, we were in the Miami Regional playing the Hurricanes. Winner goes to Omaha. We just had a great 4 years. Had Craig Counsell was my teammate for 4 years. So just had an incredible college baseball experience. Just dumb luck, you know, just walked on and had this incredible 4 year experience. And then I was a high school coach in suburban Philly where I grew up, and at Malvern Prep is the school. And, you know, I'm 24 years old. I can't even spell coach, let alone do it. And we have two first round picks in 4 years. Again, dumb luck, you know, Ben Davis, my first year as a high school head coach, 24 years old. Our catcher is Ben Davis, who's the second pick in the 1995 draft. And then we have another first-rounder, Josh McKinley, in 98. And then, you know, I wanted to get into college coaching and got really lucky to get the volunteer position at Arizona State because Pat Murphy had moved on to there. And from there, a year and a half in, our pitching coach, John Pulowski, gets the job at Charleston. So I got to be a paid coach. And after that, after my years at ASU, which were, you know, incredible, you remember, Kaner, from we were playing you guys at Fullerton, and my 6 years at ASU, I think we had 17 big leaguers come through the program, and the Pedroias and Ethiers, and got to coach Ian Kinsler, and on and on. And then I was a head junior college coach, so I got to experience that. It was really fun. And in the meantime, it started to dabble in the broadcasting piece. And since 2009, I've gotten to work for ESPN on their college baseball programming. So, you know, again, it's just, you know, you got to pinch yourself sometimes in this game when you get to do things like that, because it's just right place, right time. Some really good people stepping forward and going to bat for you. But, to your point, I've seen a lot of different angles at it. And you know, college baseball is my passion. It's something that I just every day of my life I am involved in college baseball because I love it. It's just, you know, it's oxygen for me, and so it's been a really, really fun journey.
You know, Runes, there's the high school game, which I didn't realize that you had coached at Malvern Prep. I've actually been there before, man. What a cool school. And you've coached
Fighting Friars, baby.
Yeah, it's big time, man. So you coached at Malvern, you coached at Arizona State. You know, I'm sure you've had opportunities in professional baseball. What is it about the college game as opposed to maybe the high school or the pro game that's so attractive to you?
Well, I would tell you that, I tell high school coaches that I'm really close friends with, I tell them all the time, arguably the most fun I've ever had was as a young high school coach. I mean, that was just a blast. The thing that's great about the college game is that the talent level is really high. These kids are really skilled, but the game still has some purity to it. You know, like you really are, you know, Coach Murphy used to always talk about palm down. You know, it's not a palm up and what's in it for me, it's palm down. And, you know, the truth is in pro ball, and I don't mean this to insult or criticize anyone, you really can't be palm down in pro ball until you get to the big leagues. The minor leagues is not about palm down. The minor leagues is about get as good as you can and put up numbers and get to the big leagues. So the college game is you've got that, yeah, I think it's like that perfect mix. We've got really talented players, really skilled players, but you've got that esprit de corps, that just everybody in it for the cause. And, you know, I have a real day job now, and it's hard to find that in the real world. So I think that's what I love about college baseball. I love that esprit de corps. I love the people. You know, I've always felt that baseball is about relationships, and there's so many great people in the game of baseball. And I think in particular in college baseball, we have coaches that are teachers and just people that you would want your son around. And I think that sets the tone for the game.
That's awesome. And you know, talking about some of the great team in the chemistry that's in college baseball, you know, everyone's on that same goal of we're getting to Omaha, compete for a national championship. There's the school pride. That's, you know, it's more of a team game. I think when you get into pro baseball, you know, it becomes about the individual, maybe until the major leagues and maybe even until the major league postseason. It's about the individual. The coaches that you've been around, you know, Coach Murphy and some of the programs that you've had the privilege to be around from your connections and time with ESPN, what are some of the ways to build the championship culture and to really build that team that the coaches listening to this podcast could take and use? What are some of the strategies that you've seen or things that you've heard people do?
Well, I would say, Kaner, that, you know, you have to be buttoned down in all the areas that are, you know, are the obvious ones in building your program. You know, you have to create interest and create funding, and you have to get good people, good coaches, good players. But, you know, that kind of everybody's doing that. I think personal development, you know, people development, that once you get who you get in your program, you've got to develop those people. And that's your coaches. That's your, you know, your assistant coaches want to grow. You've got to grow. Your players have to grow. And so that's physical, that's skill development, that, you know, physical and strength development. But I've always, the mental game has always been really important to me. I, you know, Coach Murphy, who was my coach, he was, and my dad was my coach as a kid, and my dad and Coach Murphy were motivators. You know, they were people that you wanted to run through a wall for them. You didn't want to fail because you didn't want to disappoint those guys. And so I saw that at an early age. And then, you know, Coach Murphy was my first mentor in coaching, but my first hero in coaching was Skip Bertman. And I tell people all this time, you know, I think people have really whiffed on what made Skip Bertman great. You know, we always think about gorilla ball and being so, he was so clever in understanding what would win in Omaha. But you know what the real truth of it is? Skip Bertman was the best motivator we had in college baseball. And so I was a young high school coach, and I'm making photocopies of Chicken Soup for the Soul and putting it in our locker room. So it was, you know, it was, I think the mental game is so important because you can't change, once you've recruited, you can't change that. And then it's just, you've got to do a better job than everybody else at developing the people that are in your program.
Yeah, Jack Canfield would be proud about you sharing the Chicken Soup for the Soul with your high school players, Runes. That's outstanding, man. That's a great, I remember reading that when I was a high school baseball player. Some of the stories, you know, were awesome. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, I had a chance to interview Coach Bertman for the podcast, and we did a little project together called Winning the Big One. And I think he was the master of the mental game before anybody even knew what the mental game was. You know, he had worked with Ken Revisa way back when with the Olympic team. And, you know, when I met Ken and started to go through his program at Cal State Fullerton in 2002 and 3, there was a lot of Skip Bertman that was in Ken Revisa and a lot of Revisa that was in Bertman, as I think there is that Revisa connection in Augie Garrido as well. But one of the guys you worked with Murph, I think probably at Notre Dame and definitely at ASU, was Harvey Dorfman. Can you talk a little bit about him and your relationship with him and some of the things that he brought to the table with you guys?
Oh, man. It's honestly, Kanner, it's hard to even talk about Harvey without getting choked up, because it's just, he was just like Ken Revisa. You know, it's not only were these special people, but when you're investing into someone's personal development like that, I mean, you're changing their life. The 2 weeks before Harvey Dorfman died, I wasn't coaching at the time and was, you know, trying to make some career decisions, some life decisions. And I think I wrote a 3-page Word document to Harvey, and I emailed him. And, you know, Harvey had such a great sense of humor, very sarcastic guy, but truly cared about people. And I said, Harvey, I'm not asking you to read this document. I just had to unload my heart and my mind on paper right now. If you read anything in there and you see something, please, by all means, fire away. But I got to tell you that just having you in my life and putting these thoughts on paper, I already feel so much better. And, you know, unfortunately, Harvey, his email back to me was, he kind of gave me a hard time. He's like, Runes, wow. And then he said, hey, I'm not feeling very good. And I'm sure enough, he passed 2 weeks later. But, you know, he would come and spend time with us, Kaner, and just, you know, his book was fabulous. I mean, his book and Ken Revisa's book, they're must reads, must haves if you're in coaching. There's things, you know, they're different styles there, but it's if you're a head baseball coach at any level, man, for me, those have got to be in your back pocket. And, you know, Harvey was just a guy that would look you right in the eyeballs and tell you, hey, here's what I hear you saying, and we need to talk about that. And, you know, it was awesome. He would speak to our team as a group, and he would speak to individual players. He would speak to us as individual coaches. And, you know, like I feel like it's a lifetime impact. And, you know, I think it, the other thing that's interesting, Kaner, is as I think about all this stuff, when, you know, I think about 2003 when we're playing you guys at Fullerton in a super regional, and, you know, that Fullerton team, if I'm not mistaken, had 8 future big leaguers on the team. Our team at Arizona State was really good. We had 5 future big leaguers, including Ether and Pedroia. We're working with Harvey Dorfman. You guys are doing the Ken Revisa stuff. So it's like in college baseball right now, there's more than 100 teams that are investing as if, hey, we want to get to Omaha. So these the margins are thin. So you got to be buttoned down everywhere. And I think the mental game, you know, even if someone told me, hey, here are 5 areas, you got to pick one, this is the one I would pick, because I think it's easy to say we're doing the mental game, but the discipline and the conviction to it is a real separator.
When you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there. You know, a lot of people talk about, hey, we're doing the mental game, and then you ask them, well, what do you do? And they kind of, well, we work hard. You know, and it's like, well, everybody in college baseball is working hard, you know, and what is it that you do in the mental game to help give you the advantage? And you start talking about process or routines or imagery, or like Skip Bertman using the videos for, you know, the team motivation stuff or team meetings, where you're talking about mindset and leadership and character development and how to handle adversity. And people kind of give you the blank look, like, you know, we don't do that. You know, what are some of the things that when you look at teams that go beyond giving lip service to the mental game, but really do it at a high level, what are some of the things that you actually see them doing?
Well, I think there's so many things. You know, I visited TCU this fall, and I was there for my day job, and I got to see those guys work out. And I know, you know, you're close to those guys, and they do an unbelievable job. But it's, you know, it's everywhere. They're investing in having you talk to the team. They put their money where their mouth is. There's signage everywhere. You see the routines of the players. I remember, you know, when we would play Long Beach State back in the day, they had the little mini toilet that they would, you know, the players would go flush when they had a bad at bat. I always thought that would have been a good strategy for us against Fullerton and Long Beach, was steal the mini toilet. But we never, that's probably, actually not probably, that is in fact unethical.
Oh, that would have been outstanding.
Yeah, but I think, you know, as a coach, it's, you know, I, again, not to make this about me, but I remember I had, you know, a mid-20s high school coach, and I go see Skip Bertman in a clinic. I'm like, I'm doing that. I am doing that. And so every game day, I'm in the copy room, not printing out math quizzes like I should have been, but I'm printing out this photocopied sheet that says Malvern Prep Baseball, March 18th, 1996, and a quote. But, you know, you get like you have to like go research those quotes, and you got to find them, and it's got to be the right quote for the right day. So you can't just start down that road and then punt it. You got to this, you know, again, for me, it's like physical training. It's you have to be and it's the leader of the program, man. It starts and stops with you. The first day that I don't put that quote in those kids' locker on game day, that's the day that I send a message to them that we're not taking the program seriously. The first time our best player doesn't step out after a red light situation and take a deep breath, I'm sending a message to my whole program that, hey, the mental game is optional. And we, you know, we all know what's going to happen is when the adversity hits, when things really get hairy, then we're all going to just go back to our original habits. So I would say there's so many different physical things, Kaner, but I think the things I notice is that it's just just this ferocious dedication to it that we're not backing off of this. Cause it's going to, I mean, again, I'm preaching to the choir, you know, this even way better than I do, but this is not, if you're going to do the mental game, it's not going to be super comfortable for everybody. And it's a little scary as a coach, because you might say to yourself, man, my best player is already really good. I don't want to do anything to mess them up. But you know, you just, if you want to build a great program, you can't have that mentality. You got to have the mentality of, we're doing everything at a championship level, and that's it. That's period.
Well, and I think a lot of coaches, and I think this is changing, and I'd like to see if you see that same kind of trend is, you know, a lot of times people would say, if you're doing the mental game, you're screwed up, you got something wrong with you. And now people look at it as it's like growth, man. You're trying to become more. You go work on your swing in the cage. You work on pitching in the bullpen. Let's work on your mindset. Let's work on your maturity. Let's work on your leadership. Let's work on you getting to able to identify the things that you can control and the things that you can't control, and learning how to make the decisions to focus only on the things you can control, because focusing on something you can't, you're simply going to beat yourself. So I think people see it now as it's not even really the mental game. It's just like, this is the right way to go about doing your business as somebody who wants to be a high level achiever. This is more the psychology of success. So I think it's more accepted in baseball. I mean, it's a lot more accepted in other sports. I still think baseball is behind the curve in a lot of it, well, a lot of ways, and this is one of them. But I think it's making a lot of headway, and I think you saw that with Joe Maddon and the Cubs this year in the World Series.
No question. I agree. It's the mentality's changing. The way I've heard it a long time ago was somebody said, you know, confidence is a muscle, and that does make a lot of sense to me. And just like physical strength, there are some people like a Dustin Pedroia was born with this or raised to have this incredible confidence. And then others, I was one of those guys, over analytical, you know, kind of anxious at all times, and had to learn how to calm myself down. And so everybody's somewhere on that spectrum, but we all have to get to the best place we can get to if we're going to be successful. But you mentioned other walks of life. I'm in sales in my real job, and it's, you know, if you're in a performance environment, you are going to face adversity, and adversity that knocks your breath out of you. And that is it's so funny in sales. I see this all the time. You have a hotshot salesperson killing their quota, and they are just, you know, higher than a kite. And you're looking at them like, hey, what are you doing to get better? Because that quota is not staying there. Like, this game's, people are going to come get you. And so I think that's the point of the whole thing. If you're in a performance-based business, it's not about how good you are today. It's about, you are going to face some adversity that's going to shake you to your core. And how mentally strong are you going to be able to get through that? And I think that's where the mental game comes in. To your point, it's more accepted now, but then it becomes who's better at really executing it.
You know, you mentioned the Dustin Pedroia and the 17 guys. That's unbelievable that you coached at Arizona State that went on to play in the big leagues, that you played with Craig Counsell when you were at Notre Dame. You coached two first-round picks at Malvern Prep and Ben Davis and Josh McKinley. Runes, what are some of the characteristics that you saw in those guys that you coached or guys that you see now going around in college baseball, the first-round picks and the guys that are, you know, the Brandon Finnegans that make it to the major leagues months after pitching in the College World Series? What are the characteristics from a mental game that you see in those players that helps them to be successful that maybe some of the other players are missing?
Well, I think that, you know, to get to the big leagues, you have to be immensely mentally strong. I just think that is one of the most underrated feats in sports today. People have no idea how brutally difficult the minor leagues are. And I mean physically, I mean mentally. And you have to create those guys. I would say, you know, obviously they're all freakishly gifted from a physical standpoint, but their conviction level is really high. The I remember Ben Davis. This is one of my favorite memories. Is we're on a bus to a game. You know, in 1995. He's going to be a first round pick, and him and his family were so dedicated in everything they did. And there he is on our bus ride while everybody else is jacking around and listening to their music and all that stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Ben is sitting there with Harvey. What was Harvey's first book? Was it The ABCs of Baseball, or was that his second one?
The first one was, I think, The Mental Game of Baseball. Then he came
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the book he had. And, you know, I'm telling you, Kaner, you'd have been so proud of Ben. I mean, he had this book dog-eared, highlighter ink all over. I mean, he had just torn this book up. And so, you know, I think when I look at those guys, I would tell you that the one common denominator in all these guys is that confidence, that conviction, and that determination that they are not going to be denied. And some of them were just born with some of those qualities and then had to just get better at it. And others, not so much at all, really struggled with confidence and had to learn those things and had to get focused on those things. I really do think that one of the keys to being successful at a high level is you got to really learn yourself, and you got to put a mental game together that helps you get the best out of yourself.
Yeah, I think that whole concept of learning yourself first, you know, and working at yourself as much as you work at your craft is such an important piece. You know, everybody wants to go work on their swing, they want to work on their arm strength, they want to work on the body, but they don't necessarily want to go work on their core values, their principles, or who they are. And I know you guys can probably hear my dogs in the background. This is real time, big time. We're going to let them go. But Runes, what are some of the things that you do to help yourself? You know, you're on the road a ton, traveling with your sales gig and with ESPN. What are some of the things that you do to help work on yourself?
You know, I think my two go-tos are, you know, first of all, having just stuff sent to me, you know, whether it's Bible passages or your Monday message or, you know, anything that I can get to try and get, you know, every once in a while I try to sneak and get Clint Hurdle's email that he sends to his people. I've got a few people that he sends that to that every once in a while I can kind of jive those guys to send that to me. So I want to kind of surround myself with those influences. And the other two things that really work, well, the other thing I would say is physical. I'm a big believer that physical fitness helps the mental game. So I always feel like when I'm working out, I'm just clearer mentally. But the other thing for me is reading and talking to people that I respect, you know, and that's the benefit of working in college baseball. And I do have the opportunity to talk to coaches a lot, and I just find that so fulfilling. My wife laughs at me when I get off the phone with coaches, and she says, "Hey, you're kind of hovering right now. Do you think maybe we could come back down to earth?" And so that I get such a lift out of that. And then reading, I love to read. I'm one of the only mid-40s guys I know with an active library card, but I just can't buy every book anymore because my wife and I'll have to get a 26,000 foot square home. But those are my go-tos, and it takes a little discipline because we're all in the same boat. It is hard to find the time to do those things, so you really have to bake it in there.
Runes, our next question for you here, man, is you talked about kind of the personal development and the reading and the Monday message. And what are some of the books that you read that you think would have the biggest impact on our coaches that are listening to this? You've mentioned Harvey Dorfman's The Mental Game of Baseball. You've mentioned the ABCs of pitching. He's got the mental keys of hitting. You've mentioned Ken Revisa and Heads Up Baseball. What are some of the other books that you found that have really had a big impact on you and your mindset and your life?
Well, I'll tell you another author that has been a go-to for me is John Maxwell. He has got unbelievable books on leadership. And I think the one, I've read so many of them, I always get the titles jumbled. But the one that I think had the biggest impact on me that I read as a coach was Your Roadmap to Success. And I could have that jumbled up a little bit. But I've always, the thing I like about John Maxwell is his books are not all theoretical. He's really good about putting live examples in there. Like he might say, hey, here's a leadership quality. And then you see a passage about Abraham Lincoln, for instance, doing that. So that he's, you know, authors like that, I'll try any author like that once. I would say he has been, you know, a pretty clear cut best of the best for me. And then my other thing is biographies. You know, I love to read biographies and any coach, you know, I will read a biography on any coach, any leader. I love that stuff. So, you know, those are really the things that I love the most is just those nonfiction storytelling type of books where you kind of see how people go through the lows, how they come up to the highs. Those are real. Again, I can't get enough of those types of books.
It's awesome. Huge Maxwell, John Maxwell fan. What my favorite Maxwell book is the Maxwell Daily Reader. It's a short, you know, maybe 2 minutes a day, one page a day book. And I'm actually going to drop you a copy of that here, Runes, for being a guest on our podcast, man. Thank you for being with us. And my last question for you is, you know, through your tremendous journey through the game of baseball from coaching and being with ESPN, what is it that you know now you wish you knew when you were just getting started?
You know what I wish I knew now is that I wish I had known that the adversity you're going to face in that journey is beyond what you think you're going to face, and just you got to hang in there. You know, I feel like that would be the one thing I would I was lucky to have so many great people around me, my wife, my family, that helped me through those times, mentors. But man, you know, as a young coach, you take it so personally. And I was as guilty as that as anybody. But I think, you know, and I think like a lot of us, I learned it the hard way. But I wish I just could have, you know, when you face that adversity or, you know, like for me, my dream was to be a Division I head coach and you know, another jobs filled and they won't even interview you, just, you know, those types of things. I wish I had kind of this little voice, had done a better job having a voice in my head that says, you're cool, man. Just keep pumping the pump. Keep doing your thing. It's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. There's a great journey out there for you. It's a great plan, because I think that would have allowed me to, I had a blast, but I would have had even more fun in all the great things that were happening. But That's the one thing I think about is there's massive triumphs that are coming for everyone that's in this, but there's massive discouragements that are coming. And if you're not ready for them, man, they can really get you off kilter. And so that would be the thing is I wish I had done a little better job being prepared for those discouragements.
Well, and as one of our former guests and the guy who you probably remember, a three-time All-American at Wichita State, Zach Sorensen, one of the things that Zach talked about is he said, you got to make adversity your advantage. And I think that's something that you're saying as well, is that the harder it gets, the better you are, you know, and as Navy SEALs say, if it doesn't suck, we don't do it. So, you know, the more adversity you can face, I think the more learning opportunity it is. And, you know, I think you've hit the nail on the head here. It was a lot of great things for the coaches and athletes that are going to be listening to this. So, Runes, thanks again for taking the time. For people that wanted to follow up with you, whether it's having you come speak to their team or speaking at a coach's clinic, is there a social media or a website or any way that our people can get in contact with you?
Yes, yeah. The Twitter is the best place to get me. LinkedIn, too, but Twitter, I'm just Mike at Mike underscore Rooney, capital M, capital R. So at Mike underscore Rooney, you could find me there, and that's the best place to get me.
Awesome, Runes. Thanks again for making time to be on the podcast. I appreciate you so much.
My pleasure, Kaner. Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening to the Peak Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a positive review or share a link to this episode on social media using hashtag PeakPod. Mention Brian Kane and one thing you learned in this episode for your chance to win a free ticket to the next Brian Kane Experience live event. Dominate the day.